This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
That is an actual lie. It is not Barton Hahn, but it is two men with awkward mustaches for the next 3 hours. Peter Burns, Randy Scott, the first time ever working together. Haven't seen you in like 7 years, except when you're on my television nonstop. So, hello, friend.
Hey, man. It is the first show that we've done together. And I was just joking. I was like, man, when's that time you were up here and you shadowed SportsCenter? And it was like, I felt like pre-kids for both of us. I think if it was seven years ago, I must have had maybe the beginnings of two. You know, maybe one with one on the way. But I don't know that you had any at this point. Now I think of you as just the mustachioed dad of Charlotte.
Yeah, a broken man of two kids underneath five. But that's okay. Bluey's making its return over to Disney Plus on August, here in a couple weeks.
August 10th, season August 3. 10th.
I'm excited about that. All right, well, I'm excited about this show. You can hit us up on Twitter, Randy Scott ESPN, myself at Peter Burns ESPN. The number, as always, 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. The show always presented by Progressive Insurance. And now all of that, the fancy radio stuff we did off the top, it's done. Now we can actually talk about what went down yesterday. And if you're Knicks fans right now, you got to actually love this. So hang with me here, okay? DeAndre Ayton, yes, not going to be a member of the Knicks, but signs the offer sheet with the Pacers and all of that. And then all of a sudden, the Suns have an opportunity to match. Boom, they match. So when you saw that news, Randy Scott, I don't think you loved it. I'm surprised by you, my friend.
I didn't. Phoenix is an interesting place. NBA-wise. Remember, Rod Sarver's under active NBA investigation right now. Let's keep that very much at the forefront of things.
But I feel like every owner in sports right now, that's why Snyder's on his yacht, or he can't be subpoenaed. I almost feel like if you're not under criminal investigation as an owner, are you doing things completely right? But I digress.
Are you even an owner if you're not under active?
Who are you? How many seats you got? I got 14. Got seven. Weak.
Yeah, they probably looked... They look down at other owners where they're like, why weren't you on your yacht? How'd you get subpoenaed? Where does everyone summer? So for me, I view it through the lens of Phoenix being an outpost in the NBA. It's an outliner. It's a warm weather city. It should be far more desirable to free agent talent than it is. And the reason it's not is because it doesn't pay free agent talent. It doesn't pay the talent that at home grows. Okay. TV rights exploding, and I'm saying that historically. A lot of that predates the Sarver era, but a lot of what they're able to do now, they almost have to do because TV rights have exploded to the point where they have to pay Devin Booker. You know, a homegrown talent gets paid almost by default in Phoenix.
Right.
So for them to match the offer, as soon as I saw the number yesterday, it was a few hours after we were off the air, actually, and I saw $133 million. For a guy in DeAndre Ayton who had TV structures been the way they were NBA-wise even 10 years ago, okay, yeah, I can see that. But he plays an antiquated NBA game. He is not
back towards the basket type. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like Patrick Ewing back in the day. I mean, we're talking like just not the Kevin Durant, not the 7-footer, not the Dirk that you can get out on the outside and shoot. You're talking about a guy down low. This is the type of basketball he's playing.
Exactly. Now, there's a price to be paid for defense, sure, but it's not a 4-year, $133 million. And when I say defense, go back to the NBA Finals, which some folks had to be reminded that, you know, the Phoenix Suns played in the NBA Finals. But when he was the primary defender on Giannis... Giannis shot only, using air quotes here, only 50% from the floor, but he shot 70% against everybody else. So if you measure him against the best big man in basketball, he held his own defensively.
Right.
What he can do is rebound and back to the basket. And Chris Paul uses him at an alarming rate and efficiency. He is integral to what the Suns do with their pick and roll offense. Fine. But what you've done is pay someone who's not a three-point threat in a three-point shooting league, in a three-point shooting conference, to be clear. But also, you have, with this move and the way it's structured and some of the NBA contract rules, you've taken yourself out of the running for Kevin Durant. That's
so burden. But you're saying it's a bad thing to be bird in the hand versus two in the bush, because that's what you were waiting for, right? You were waiting to see if Kevin Durant, you know, it picks you, right? If you get the rose, and who the hell knows about Kevin Durant other than that his Twitter account's just going to be an absolute disaster. In fact, maybe Wendy knows. Would you think about that? ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst had this to say about DeAndre Ayton and how this whole thing affects KD to Phoenix.
It doesn't eliminate it at all, but it certainly diminishes it. By matching this offer sheet, the Suns cannot trade DeAndre Ayton until after January 15th, and he's got veto power on trades for the next year. He was a big piece that they wanted to put in a deal for Kevin Durant. Even if he wouldn't end up in Brooklyn, they wanted to use him so that they didn't have to use any of the other valued assets they have on their roster. And frankly, that's why the Pacers put them to the test. They signed this offer sheet because they thought maybe they wouldn't want to close down Durant Avenues, and they matched it within minutes. And I think what that tells you is right now, not only are the Suns nowhere near any traction on a deal with the Nets for Durant, but they're not even sure any traction is going to come. So they had to take care of their center from their 64-win team and live to fight another day on the Durant front.
Randy Scott, Peter Burns here, and Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio talking about DeAndre Ayton, the Phoenix Suns going ahead and matching that. And I disagree here, Randy. So for me, I look at this and go, were you willing to lose Ayton? Okay. What you just poetically pointed out, you know, the full screens you guys run on SportsCenter just go ahead and show how important he is to Chris Paul, who's in the waning part of his career, right? That's that game. It's worked enough. They got to the finals last year. If you didn't make this move, and all of a sudden, Durant doesn't take you up on this offer and plays with your emotions, what do you have? You've got nothing, right? Like so me, you had to put DeAndre Ayton on this roster. Now, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Suns could still make some type of move, but you had to at least keep a homegrown talent there. And now that if you got Ayton there, you've got Devin Booker, you still have at least some type of foundation. Now, is it going to be enough? It wasn't enough at that point, but just the idea that Kevin Durant guarantees you a championship, I don't know if that's true right now. Can you say that, Randy? Do you believe that?
Well, we know what the Suns' ceiling is. That's what I'll say. And the ceiling is what we saw this past season. One seed in the West, early exit.
Correct.
One seed in the West, don't even make it to the Western Conference Finals. Mm. Bow out against Luka and the Mavericks, and that's it. And there's no shame in having one team superstar outplay the other. But what I firmly believe is you get at least a round beyond where you were. You raise your ceiling with Kevin Durant. And I'll listen to the argument of, oh, how much higher than a one seed do you get in the Western Conference? I think you at least get to the Western Conference Finals, and you get a chance to square up. And maybe selfishly, as an unaffiliated basketball fan, sort of a free agent fan, I would love to see Kevin Durant go against the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. But what I'm saying is when a top five, to be generous, I would say top two, NBA talent, NBA superstar right now in terms of marketability, which – let's call Phoenix what it is. It's a mid-major as it pertains to NBA cities.
Fair.
But when a marketability and talent, production on the floor, he is elite. He is in that reserved room for NBA superstars. When his list, his preferred list, is two teams long and you're the first team, it's Phoenix and Miami, 1-2 in that order, and you make a move like this that maybe it's not a death knell, but it impedes your ability. It makes your job or your opportunity to get Durant even slightly more difficult, and in my opinion, significantly more. It's poor roster management for a guy in DeAndre Ayton who is not an elite productive player in the NBA.
I think Kyrie thought there in Brooklyn that they were going to have a bunch of suitors for him. It turned out not to be the case. For Kevin Durant now, I think it's going to be the similar situation. If you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, as chaotic and as broken as that family is right now with those two, they're going to be back together. Here's Nick Friedell, our ESPN NBA reporter, talking about what KD might know after that move.
Kevin knows the league inside and out, and he also knows that there are not as many ways for Phoenix to make it happen now because they've made this move. So he's watching this very closely, just like the rest of us. But there's no question, if you're Kevin Durant and you know there's not a space right now to get you there, he's got to be sitting there wondering, all right, do I really still want to push to go there? Or is there more of a chance potentially for me to at least start the season in Brooklyn? And I know the Nets are hoping that, and it's hope right now, but they're hoping that that is the choice he decides to make. But he is well aware of the environment across the league. And if the Nets don't feel like they're getting enough back, they're not in any rush to move him right now.
Randy Scott, when you hear that, what comes to mind?
They may not be in a rush, but you don't want an unhappy untenable situation. You've seen it with Kyrie Irving.
Is Kevin Durant ever happy? Like, when was the last time like KD was happy? I don't know if that is in his, I mean, even when he, you know, tweeting from his burner account, I don't think he's a happy cat.
Yeah, happiness, you're right, being relative. But when he's, you don't want him unmotivated. You want him to play. You want him to play. And this is what Adam Silver doesn't like. You know, an NBA commissioner doesn't like a guy with 4 years left on his deal asking for a trade because it renders the contract worthless, not monetarily, but in terms of having any teeth whatsoever. When you're in that elite tier of NBA superstar and you can get yourself out of a situation like this. But I want to go back to the contracts just quickly because it would have been, I'm sort of heading off an argument in the past, the Suns would have had to do some salary cap maneuvering to land Kevin Durant, but his salary is $44 million for this coming season.
Correct.
The Suns are now paying DeAndre Ayton close to $31 million, and Mikal Bridges $21 million. So if you ship Bridges to bring in Kevin Durant, that number for both Ayton and Bridges combined is well north of what Kevin Durant's going to make. Right now, the Suns, with this new DeAndre Ayton deal, about $15 million into luxury tax, they're over that cap. That's fine. That's an amount they're willing to pay. It would be negligible if you bring in Kevin Durant, ship out DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges, and run it with CP3, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant. At least monetarily, salary cap-wise, that was easier than what you've created for yourself with DeAndre Ayton.
Well, at that point, Randy Scott, Knicks fan or Nets fans, I think, are going to say it is going to be dysfunctional. But guess what? The math of it, overpaying people right now, is actually may help our team. And guess what? If you're a Knicks fan, you're going to love the advice that I have for not your team, but the Miami Heat. We'll get into that in a second. Randy, the mustache is looking good, my friend. How are you? Keep it going.
All right. Likewise. I appreciate you. What I can do here is I can use Dollar Shave Club. Hey, you ever have a shave so noticeably smooth that people want to touch it? Like when a friendly pat on the cheek turns into a full-on cheek rub, it's the kind of shave a Dollar Shave Club six-blade razor can get you. Mm. The Dollar Shave Club six-blade razor brings noticeably smooth shaves with six stainless steel blades for swift hair removal and a lubricating strip that keeps things smooth. The Dollar Shave Club six-blade razor is here to get that chin noticed. And it comes at a fair price. Dollar Shave Club razors are sold at dollarshaveclub.com or in stores.
By the way, Randy Scott, Peter Burns here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Highly upset that they did not stream us on television today. Your stash is looking fantastic. You got the Dollar Shave Club thing rolling. Look at what I got rolling on as getting ready for the Garth Brooks concert here in Charlotte today.
Yes.
It's awkward. In fact, I was trying to pick up my kids from camp, and they probably tried to stop me and ask, sir, are you even allowed to be within 500 yards of this facility at this point? I did not say yes or no and picked up my kids. It's awkward. Like, I feel like wearing this stash right now, quickly here, Randy.
Yes.
Is the fact that, like, anytime I see someone, I have to have this ritual apology where I have to tell them in advance why I'm growing out the stash.
Yes.
Like, I want them to know this is not a conscious decision that I wake up in the morning thinking I look good with the stash. I have to tell them I'm doing like an SEC Network Media Days bit on day one about Top Gun and coaches, and that's why I'm wearing the stash. I feel like that's the case.
The preemptive apology and explanation is massive. And I just had my kids, I call it the adventures of solo dad O'Brien when we go on vacation and I'm one on three, and we went to the beach. And so I had them on the beach for a week. And the things that happen, you know, you take one kid, stays on the beach, you know, I have a 9-year-old, so maybe he'll stay while I take another child into the ocean to maybe, you know, use the facilities, you know, whatever it is. And when you're one-on-one leading a kid to the water and you have a mustache and there's no mom in sight.
Looks,
you know,
different.
Like, it looks a little big, yeah. So you sort of have to walk around with everybody's birth certificates and all that good stuff. But what I will say is that the Top Gun thing, I mean, I hope we have time in these now 2.5 hours or 2 hours plus to talk. You've seen Maverick, yes?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. It's great.
Loved
it. Fantastic.
So much. So I do love that the fact that people could say, oh, he's just really into Top Gun, instead of, no, his daughter won't let him shave his face. Because that's what it is for me.
Here's the deal. You're talking about Maverick, and Maverick was so incredibly good at what he did. He was so incredibly cocky, but it worked, right? He's Danny Ainge, right? Danny Ainge right now sits himself in a situation where he's like, all right, listen, I know what everybody wants, okay? I'm sitting here with the Jazz. Everybody wants Donovan Mitchell. Like, come on, come to me, all right? So here's what you need to do. If you're the Miami Heat right now, How do you not understand that you're getting completely trolled? Completely trolled by Danny Ainge, right? Mm-hmm. You have to understand that. So the advice that I have that Knicks fans will love and the Heat fans should love right now, like Pat Riley, if you're listening to me, okay? Get out of this. Get out of this situation. You are being trolled. You're being catfished. You're being whatever at this point, right? Danny Ainge is using you. Danny Ainge, going back to the days of 2013, when all of a sudden Pat Riley told him to, you know, tell him to worry the blank about his team and all this stuff and going back and forth. They have some beef. And finally, this is Danny Ainge, who, by the way, as you've pointed out on this show before, Rady, is a pretty darn good negotiator. He does a really good job. Well, the reason why he does that is that he can pair two different teams or multiple teams against each other for Donovan Mitchell. At this point, if the Suns, who aren't going to get Donovan Mitchell, he's going to the Knicks. I know it. So at that point, pull out, right? What you'll do is you'll hurt Danny Ainge at that point. Yep. And if you're a Knicks fan, you got to love that because now the price goes down.
It's the real estate thing. Your house, your condo, whatever it is worth what people will pay for it. You can't say, hey, what's your house? Well, Zillow says blah, blah, blah. It's yep. worth
how many people, bidders you have.
Yeah, it's worth what people will pay. And that happens when you can drive up the price. So you're right. If you want to knock the legs out of this thing, if you're Pat Riley, and I firmly believe that Donovan Mitchell would be the go-to scorer that they need off the dribble. He would be that guard. But if you want to pull yourself out of this situation, you don't want to give up the ransom that Danny Ainge is asking for, then yeah, take the knees out of the Utah Jazz. Take their position out of it. Yeah, do you help the Knicks? Sure. But if you're Pat Riley, can you live with that by getting at Danny Ainge, who used to drive you crazy as a Boston Celtic when you were coaching the Lakers? Yeah, I'm sure.
But Randy, do you think that there's a package right now, right here, right now, that Pat Riley can put together that's better than what the Knicks can do? I don't see it.
No,
right?
I don't see it. I don't see it. But what you said about the Knicks not bidding against themselves is massive, because that's what the Nets did. When Danny Ainge pulled off yeah. the biggest coup of his front office career in 2013, when he sent Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Jason Terry and mm-hmm. DJ White, sent him to the, you know, got a ton of salary cap relief, a ton of draft capital from the
what
Nets.
What did that set them up for?
They got home. I mean, it was 2014 first rounder, 16 first rounder, 18 first rounder, and then the right to swap picks in 2017. So that draft pick turned into the number one overall pick because the Celtics exercised their right to do that. And then they traded down from there and traded and drafted Jason Tatum that year. So it turned into Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and draft capital to land Kyrie Irving in a trade with the Cavs. So Danny Ainge is a genius when it comes to holding out, saying, right. I'm not sure, I don't know. And he made Billy King, who was running the show for the Nets back then, made him bid against himself.
And guess what? That's exactly right now what Pat Riley can make sure doesn't happen at this point. Pull out, figure out what you're going to do with your own team, but you're not getting Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is going to be a Knickerbocker, and it doesn't matter to me, Randy,
yeah.
How many draft picks? Like the draft picks, when people say, oh, it should be four, it should be five. Like I think it's capped at six, what the NBA collective bargaining agreement allows, like in some of the legalese. It can be 65. It does not matter. You absolutely 1,000% have to go get Mitchell right now. He's a young, budding superstar, and he's already locked up right now. Like this is what the Knicks have been waiting for, Randy. I don't care what it is, the cost is.
I don't either, because there's also no guarantee. The first overall draft pick, you know what? Hold on one second. I want to make sure I get this right because I don't want to besmirch his name.
No, just you can make it up on radio. If you sound confident enough to say it, people will believe you.
All right. Markel Fultz may turn into something for Orlando. If it is strong last season, he might be in the right spot, worked on the jump shot, all of it. But the Sixers took him first overall. And if you looked at the draft capital that you get in a trade, right, when they mm-hmm. were trusting the process back then in Philadelphia, and you look at the number one overall pick, and you're like, we got the number one pick. We're going to crush this thing. Can't miss. Well, sometimes the number one overall pick is Greg Oden when Kevin mm-hmm. Durant goes next. Sometimes the number one overall pick is Markelle Fultz when Jason Tatum goes two picks later. So these things are not exact sciences, no matter how high that draft pick is. Is my point. So if right now, did you tell the people what Utah offered to – so Utah offers Mitchell to New York. This is according to The Athletic. And what they asked for, the number
what,
you said.
It was six first round draft picks,
and
right?
And still do it because you're not giving up RJ Barrett.
Right.
And you're not giving up Julius Randle.
So what did Les Snead of the GM of the Rams, what does he think about picks?
I don't know if we can say it. Can we say it?
Well, you can't say it, but it's about exactly what my wife thinks about my mustache right now. We'll put it that way. Jose is in Brooklyn. Talk to me, man. What's going on, Barton Hahn, with Peter Burns and Randy Scott?
Randy Scott. Hey, guys. How y'all feeling? First off, who got the nasty Nestor mustache, and who has the Matt Carpenter between you guys?
I've got Carpenter. I've got Carpenter. He's got Nestor.
Nice. Fair. Maybe we could get you guys some arms in there. But in terms of Donovan Mitchell, man, I can't even explain it or agree with you guys any better than what you guys just explained it. And the reason why I was calling is to see how your imaginary package, what would you guys put together to bring a guy in that it seems as though we're the only ones that could realistically give Danny Ainge what he wants for it. And my comparison to it as a 35-plus-year Knicks fan is what we did to get a Carmelo Anthony over here. And everyone talks about the excitement of having a great player like Donovan here, but I also remember not being able to build a team around Carmelo, him coming having some really great times and, you know, playing the coming home song and the excitement of having him. And then within a year, we're booing him because he's giving us 25, 30 points, but we can't win any games. So I just wanted to hear what your guys' take is. Yes to RJ, no to RJ, Obi Toppin or not. What would be a package that you feel is fair and will get Donovan over to us over here? Because I would love to have him here, but not mortgage out our entire field.
Yeah, Jose, thank you for the phone call. And I think, Randy, at this point, you go back and look at it and go, you just talk to Danny Ainge, just go, listen, we want RJ Barrett. How many draft picks can I give to you? Give them, right? And if it's Obi, if it's Miles, it doesn't matter at that point. Because if I've got, all of a sudden, I got RJ Barrett and I get Donovan Mitchell, the draft picks mean zero. Those draft picks are going to be purgatory NBA draft picks. It does not matter. It's just a number. If Danny Ainge wants to put a plaque on his wall that says, hey, I got the most amount of draft picks, more than the Timberwolves just got, go for it, buddy. Whatever you actually need at this point, it doesn't matter because you have to land him there. Like, I felt Carmelo going to New York was about Carmelo wanting to go to New York, not about wanting to win games. It was about, hey, I'm coming home about me, Carmelo Anthony, okay? I don't get that mix about Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell wants to win. He wants to bring greatness to the Mets, because he's such a Mets fan. He wants to bring greatness to that city again, and it's right in front of you.
It's right there. I don't think the draft capital is asking too much. I think maybe it's Obi Toppin. Maybe it's a young piece of talent. Also New York ties.
I'll pack his bag for him.
Yeah. Okay, you're throwing him in. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's the holdup. I'm not sure.
You want to know? Give us a call. 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. All right. I almost cried today, and not because of the sash, Randy Scott. I will tell you why. It was an emotional day involving one of the greats. Peter Burns, Randy Scott, this is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio on the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. You can tell Bart and Hahn are not here today. Peter Burns, a fellow creepy mustachioed man. Randy Scott here filling in.
I didn't.
You think it's the first time that they've ever played Garth Brooks coming back from break on Bart and Hahn?
I think that's fair. Yeah, I feel like
confirm that is a yes.
Maybe
yes,
Low stops. Place. They might have gone friends in Low Places once.
I could see that. Maybe two pina coladas as well, too. I could actually see Bart Scott being a pina colada guy. Hahn's not that guy, but Bart can be a guy going, yeah, like I'll drink a girly drink. It doesn't, like, it's like, what are you going to say to me?
Is
somebody at a resort going to come to Bart Scott and be like, really? A pina colada?
Yeah, nice drink, man. Because that's That's the only place he's drinking it, to be honest. You know what I mean? He's not going out with his buddies, you know, locally there in the tri-state and being like, oh, man, what am I going to get at this B-dubs? I'm going to take down an old PC. And they're like, what? Nobody calls a pina colada a PC. And he's like,
I do.
Bart Scott.
Can't wait. Can do it. Peter Burns, Randy Scott. Couldn't wait for the Open Championship that's going on right now. It's a hell of a leaderboard. Cam Smith right now, 3 clear of the field at 13 under. Cam Young at 10 under. Dustin Johnson, a.k.a. Mr. Live Golf, was an early leader at one point today. He shot 67. He's 9 under. And the number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler, sitting there a stroke back. Rory McIlroy is right there. So in the mix, like, it's leading up to a fantastic Open Championship in St. Andrews, the 150th playing. But today, it was a raw emotional moment, Randy Scott, as Tiger played early, shot 75, 36 hole total, 9 over 153, not going to make the cut. And it had one of those kind of moments, right? Like, you know, how often do you see a guy that may or may not ever play again? And it started making me think, and I hit it up on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN, at Randy Scott ESPN as well, too, Randy. I didn't cry, but it was one of those moments where I'm like, whew, buddy, that was a little bit of a gut punch. And Tiger did. Tiger got emotional, you could tell. So, like, I don't expect you to cry over Tiger Woods, but, like, when's the last time you cried at a sporting event?
I mean, I can tell you the last time I cried over Tiger Woods. And I mean, 2019... when he wins the Masters, I was at Disney World with my family and seeing him hug Charlie because in
you
that,
cried then? Like, because yeah, you're not a huge golfer.
I'm not, no, but I'm a big, what they don't tell you about what kids do, here's what they don't tell you when you have kids. You are never, if you are taking care of your kids, you are never going to use the bathroom alone ever again. Like, that door is going to be open. Maybe not ever again, but you know what I'm saying? Like, while they're living with you in that, they will reach their little fingers under the door. You have to go to the bathroom with the door open, all of it, to keep an eye on them, all that stuff. They don't tell you that. They don't tell you about the sleep deprivation, how real that is, what it feels like. But then they also don't tell you that you are just a bag of wet spaghetti emotions.
Emotion, right.
You just are. So seeing Tiger, who had obviously, you know, lost Earl, lost his father, and he was darn near the same spot, you know, it was by the stanchion. And he's hugging Charlie the way that his dad hugged him all those years ago in 97. The symmetry of it. So I watched that in line for Peter Pan's flight, probably at the Magic Kingdom. Like, there, he commands the room. And even
we got a fast pass here. Yeah, it's 4 of us.
Even if the room is the Magic Kingdom.
We just got off of Pirates of the Caribbean with Tiger.
That wasn't the last time. No, the last time I cried was when the Braves won the World Series. Because we don't get into sports on our own. Our family members, our friends, you know, it's a communal experience. So,
right.
For me, it was, you know, losing my mom in 2016, who was a big Braves fan with me and a big Washington Capitals fan with me as well. So for me, it was when the Braves won the World Series. It makes you think about the people who aren't there to see it. And when the Caps won, in 2018, that was a ball fest. I mean, I was crying. So, you know, that's that, and I wouldn't trade those tears for anything, man. That is what makes sports so special, and Tiger is such a superstar. And for us, man, I mean, you played golf at such a high level and for so long, he was probably part of what got you into the game or made you love the game. And when that chapter closes, it's a chapter of your life that closes.
It's almost a nod to Father Time, right? Because we have this moment. Tiger was a couple years older than me, and we would play AJGA tournaments together. He'd go and play college golf. I played college golf. Now, of course, his career a little bit different than mine. But what it is, it's also kind of that moment that I had today, Randy, that a lot of guys, I'm 43 years old, looked at it and go, wait a minute, a legend that I watched grow up, literally grow up from, 5 years old on the Carson show or Tonight show, and watching his career develop, and now he's at the end of his career. It was almost like a reckoning of myself going, how did I get old? Like, remember LeBron James playing high school basketball. I remember exactly where I was the first time that ESPN put on, St. Vincent ball game on, right? Like, I remember that game. And then now we're seeing LeBron at the end of his career. That's what it was with Tiger today. And it's an emotional moment. Although I do have a hot take here. Maybe not so hot take, but an observation here about Tiger Woods. I think Tiger writes his own press releases on his website. Now, follow me here. Like, so he fires 78 yesterday, okay? It was disgusting. He was not happy about it, okay? So on his own Tiger Woods website, he has a press release comes out. And it's a report that talks about like a buzzkill being in a sandy divot and there was no comeback whatsoever. But here's the worst part of it. Quote, Woods played the first seven holes in 6 over par to eject himself from relevance in the 22nd Open Championship start and needed to play the final 10 holes at 1 under par to salvage a barely respectable 6 over 78. Like, this can't be someone that's part of Tiger Woods' team that wrote this press conference. This is Tiger like, no. I'm writing my own presser. I'm ripping myself because I was not respectable whatsoever. I'm a firm believer that's what happened. Could you imagine, though, Randy, if you were on his staff, you're not writing that press release on his own website that way, are you?
You are if you want to change the scenery. Yeah, you know what I mean. If you're trying to get yourself fired, that's what you're going for. Oh my gosh, that he has through ups and downs, he has never taken the easy way out when it comes to criticizing himself. He hasn't had a whole lot to criticize, and in fact, that's what was so funny for me earlier in his career. And I mean, if we go back to the Tiger Slam and that far back, but he was always like, oh, I could have done a little better, I could have done whatever. And it was preposterous relative to the score that he was putting up.
How good he is. I will tell you this, as far as on the course, you have a great storyline between the guys at Live Golf, like Dustin Johnson, and the rest of the tour, going to add a little bit more drama coming up to the 150th. All right, give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to talk more about the Knicks and Donovan Mitchell, or the moment in sports that made you cry. Peter Burns, Randy Scott here, and Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. Peter Burns, Randy Scott, as we look forward to the Open Championship right now. Cam Smith, 13 under. Cam Young, 10 under. Cam Dustin Johnson of Live Golf fame is at 9 under, and Rory McIlroy just 6 off the lead, but he's starting to heat up as well, too. We're waiting to figure out Donovan Mitchell. Do you think he's already picked out? Does he have a real estate agent there in New York at this point, Randy, who's already doing the scouting for him, I assume, right? It's going to be a done deal.
He's probably on vacation. No, you know what? No, didn't we see a video of him? He was training down at Louisville, I think. I think he was getting some buckets up. Getting some shots up down there. He's probably got his agent probably taking care of that. Yeah. He's got people for that.
I still think that deal is done. I believe that the quicker that Pat Riley can eject out of that deal, I think it's even better for the Heat and probably better for the Knicks because it might lower the asking cost. I do have a quick mustache update.
Yes.
I don't think do we have a mustache update sounder there in Bristol? Is there a proper sounder for a huge mustache update? Silence. Love it.
No, so, I'm trying to think. It's probably an Old West, like, what's that one from, is it Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? Exactly.
Yeah. So what it is, I told the wife, I was like, hey, I'm going to the Garth Brooks concert tonight. How long should I keep this thing, or should I actually shave it and go full Randy Scott mustache?
Yes.
She told me to go full Randy Scott mustache.
There we go.
She wants some team stash now.
It's a good
I'm
woman.
In.
It's a good woman there. Yes. I have the flavor saver still, but I think that's going to be the last thing to go. I just wanted to, you got to, you know, it's like a training wheel for your mustache. That's all it is.
Training wheel for your mustache.
That's floaties.
Yeah.
My mustache has floaties before I can throw it in the deep end of the pool.
I do believe at that point, like the amount of bravado you have to have, I feel like it's tough. We were talking about crying at sporting events. I feel like it's tough if you roll with the mustache, if you also cry at the sporting event. I feel like, I don't know if those things are mutually exclusive or not. Like, I feel like it takes the point away.
What takes the point away?
I don't remember seeing Keith Hernandez cry. I don't, Keith Hernandez, like, if you have a mustache, I think you don't cry nearly as much.
Jack Morris didn't cry. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about
Gardner Minshew. Minshew didn't cry. He had that mustache.
Didn't cry. All right, now I'm charged with thinking of a guy who cried with a mustache. It was
Tom Selleck didn't cry.
It was Wyatt Earp when his brother died. Nailed it.
Nailed it. 888-SAY-ESPN is the phone number. More Bart and Han coming up here. ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, Peter Burns, Randy Scott. Luckily, this is the last time I ever get asked to fill in for this. How bad did I miss the heart out just now? I mean, that was...
not bad. You were within 10 seconds.
Within 5 seconds of a heart out, like, you can do it. But when you got the 8 seconds of dead air, you're in no man's land because you're like, do I hop back in? Do I not? Do I let it? Everybody starts looking at, like, should I hit a sounder? Can we go to break early?
There were some sounders that were hit. I think we landed the plane just fine. I think
don't make
right.
me feel better about only it. Two I'm, more, I'm embarrassed.
Only
enough.
Two more hours to screw it. We're going to be okay. We're going to be all right.
Mel in Jersey, talk to me, my friend. We got plenty of time before the heart out here. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. I'm thinking Obi might be a little too much for Utah to act for just because, Obi actually have ties to New York and whatnot. Who knows what he'll be in Utah, probably, and I feel like the Knicks probably also know that he want to be in New York, so they also value that, too.
You know, Mel, thank you for the phone call, and that is interesting. I think part of why I'm so intrigued, Randy Scott, is because Donovan is a New York guy. Like, I don't have a allegiance to any NBA team, really. I've covered the Spurs during their runs, and I love them, but I've kind of fallen out of love with it as I don't live next to that market any longer.
I understand.
But part of me wants to see guys like Obi and what he brought up, and see guys that love New York about the city, because when that city loves its basketball, brother, there ain't nothing like it. Nothing.
It is a special, that Philly, I think D.C. has some, certainly Indianapolis, but that's a different, that's more of a high school collegiate love and appreciation of basketball. Professionally, it doesn't get any better than New York when the Knicks are good. Because when the Knicks are good, they're relevant. Mm. When the Knicks are good, when anything New York is good, I'll say this, when anything New York is good, it's not only better for the league that they're in, it's better for villainy. Because people love rooting against New York. I'm not that way, but people love rooting against New York. It's one of those, if you don't live there, you're not from there, you can't root for there. And that's what people like, and that's what makes for drama. It's what makes sports better. I don't know, though, we can get into this argument, too. I don't know how much of a title contender the Knicks become if they do land Donovan Mitchell, because there are so many roadblocks in the Eastern Conference, and one of them is named Giannis Antetokounmpo.
But they can be, right? And if you're in sports purgatory and where you're at right now with the Knicks, at least a can be is a different echelon than where you're at right now. 888-729-3776. That's 888-SAY-ESPN. Peter Burns, Randy Scott in for Bart and Han. Tom in Illinois, thanks for joining us here in Bart and Han. What's up?
Hey, so, talking about coming to the realization of age or moments, sports can get you a little choked up. Tiger today, obviously, my grandparents were such influential figures for me, actually in sports growing up, being 40 now. I got into golf because of them, but also my love for Duke basketball. My grandfather went there, played basketball his first couple years with Dick Grote, one of the all-time greats out of Duke. But then this past spring, my wife and I had a chance to go to the Final Four, and like a lot of Americans, our planes got messed up and we ended up not going. So I hightailed it back to watch it with my grandpa, and we got to watch Kay's last game together. My grandpa and I got to go to Cameron Indoor for his first game back as a non-student against North Carolina several years ago. And he ended up passing away about a month after that, after this Final Four. And you just talk about moments of people that influence you and, you know, help you grow to who you are. And then you get those moments where you got to watch Coach K's last game with the person that got you so excited about that program. You know, it's just, it's one of the magical thing about sports that you never realize you you were going to have the chance to enjoy when you first got to enjoy it.
No doubt. Tom, thank you for pointing that out. And I think, and I spin it back to what I'm joking around about a little bit with the Knicks, wanting to get Donovan Mitchell. Like, how many guys that grew up being Knicks fans, right? And they've been this losing franchise for so long, want to have that moment. I saw how many Georgia Bulldog fans who just lived in this arid desert of no championships for 40 years, just bawling because they finally saw a championship last year. Ole Miss baseball, Mississippi State baseball. I want the Knicks to have that moment. I want the city to have that moment for those fans.
Yeah, the ticker tape in New York for that team. I'm trying to think of a team. Like in Chicago, it's, oh man, I guess it's, yeah, it's the Cubs, but then it's the Bears. If the Bears ever win a title, that city's going to shut down. In D.C., it's the Commanders. It's the same way. You know, and I say that as a Capitals fan, the Nats won a title, but if the Commanders ever get it together, it will shut down. New York will shut down for the Knicks. The Nets, it'll be a parade of unicycles down Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn, but for New York, it's the Knicks.
Get it done. Randy Scott, Peter Burns getting it done here for Bart and Hunt on ESPN Radio. We'll keep your calls rolling, and also NFL Two-A-Days continue.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.